Welcome to Simple Life Radio, stories for the adventurous at heart. I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez, and we're live streaming at RadioMonterey.com, or perhaps you're using the app TuneIn under Radio Monterey to hear our show today. We focus at Simple Life Radio just that. We focus on simple life. And so you'll hear the voices of the folks on the Central Coast of California sharing their experiences and perspectives, and I hope that you enjoy the show today. My guest live in studio today, Marion Zola, is a local author. Her most recent book, Romancing the Dog, The Struggle to Make a Pound Dog Happy in Beverly Hills. Welcome, Marion.
Thank you. It's Beverly Hills and Carmel, but that just didn't fit the whole thing on the cover.
Well, that would have explained more because you are local, aren't you?
I am local. Part of the time, we kind of go back and forth between here and L.A.
Uh-huh. And so your newest book, then, this lovely, bittersweet memoir of life with a Tibetan terrier named Mr. Chips, who was rescued from the pound. I understand it makes readers both laugh and cry. Was that really your goal when writing the book?
No, not at all. It was just my obituary to Chips. I could not write this book. I had to say how I felt about him because he was such a special thing in our lives.
And wow.
I just had to write this book.
So it just poured out of you.
Right.
I imagine that you and Mr. Chips met a lot of people in your travels.
Oh, we did. My husband, Sam, and Chips and I had a lot of adventures.
Well, I particularly appreciated the fact that you really care about, you know, animals and how they're treated and how important it is to adopt a homeless animal. And so I noticed that you mentioned that a few times in your book, and I just really appreciated your conviction to that. Is there a reason that you feel so strongly about that? I mean, I know that animals up for adoption when they're not adopted are killed at astronomical rates.
It's true. I mean, there are so many wonderful, wonderful, healthy, fantastic dogs and cats that have no fault except that nobody is there to take them home. They are just as wonderful as the dogs that people buy. And unfortunately, a lot of people, particularly as they look at ads put on TV by the ASPCA, which are very, very sad ads designed for certain reasons. But people assume that if they go to a shelter, it's going to be terribly, terribly sad and they won't be able to handle it. When in fact, a lot of the animals there are quite happy, wagging their tails, just waiting to get out of the cage. It isn't all grim and sad at all.
No, not at all. In fact, there's so many volunteers that are right with the animals every day, and you see them interacting. Sometimes you can even see them out running in the grass. And yeah.
And if you talk to people who adopt, they are so happy they did. I mean, can you think of anything more wonderful than saving a life? You're saving a life and giving love and a wonderful home to an animal that may have never had one, may have been abused, may not have been abused, and just got lost with no ID.
Well, I have to tell you, Marion, you know, I'm a mature person at my age now. I have never purchased an animal, and I'll tell you why.
God bless you.
Because I think that life is not for sale.
Right.
And I think as soon as we put a price tag, whether it's on a pet or a child, it changes the quality of the relationship. It changes our perception of that. Not that I'm not in favor of adoption at all. I think there's plenty of room for adoption, and I share your sentiments about, you know, the specialness of saving a life of another being.
Also, people may want a certain kind of dog, and they may not realize that you can pretty much get any kind of dog you like for adoption, every breed has its own rescue organization.
Wow.
So if you wanted a St. Bernard, a Cocker Spaniel, a Poodle, or any other kind of dog, you can get that. We didn't care. Well, my husband did want a Poodle, but things worked out in a different direction. But you can get a specific kind of dog if you want one.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of tend to favor mixed breeds because they very often have better health and they're more interesting to me. But, you know, there are wonderful dogs of every breed available. Just about, I mean, if you pick some very esoteric breed from some small country or something you never, ever see, that may be unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
But any normal breed that you can think of has a rescue organization, and they have so many animals that they can't find homes for.
They need help giving those little beasts a home.
Yes.
And so SPCA is one very well-known adoption agency. Can you give us a hint as to if someone listening is looking for a specific breed, how would they find a rescue organization for that breed?
Okay. They can go to, let's say it's Boxer. They can just put in Boxer Rescue. They can Google it.
Okay.
They can also go on PetFinder.com. It's either .com or .org. I'm not sure. I think it's .com.
Okay.
In which they are asked to put in the breed they want,
mm-hmm.
or the type of dog they want. You can get young dogs, you can get older dogs, you can get middle-aged dogs. You can get any kind of dog you want. Pet Finder is a very good place to start. And as I say, each of these breeds has their own organization.
It is petfinder.com. And I did a little research, Marian, and found out that there are some warnings online about scammers who interact with people looking for dogs to buy on the internet. So that's not the case with the rescue organizations?
No.
Okay.
No. And the other advantage of a rescue organization is since they're not in it for profit, they may know and tell you specific things about the animals that a breeder wouldn't tell you because the breeder is there. I mean, I'm not saying there aren't certain breeders who are ethical and nice people, and they may do this, but in the profit fits into the equation, and it does not in a rescue, they will very often give you information about the dog, whatever information they have, as to the temperament, as to the suitability for your family. They may feel this dog is not suitable for children or is.
Health situations,
gets along well with other pets, doesn't get along well with other pets. They know something about the animal because the animal is evaluated when they come in.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two.
So very specific to the animal, not just speaking about tendencies of the breed.
Right.
Yeah.
Number two, they don't want that animal coming back. They don't want that dog or cat to be rejected.
Yeah.
So they're very careful and want to make sure it's a suitable match.
Mm.
So they go to some trouble. If you are with a rescue organization and the animal doesn't work out, very often they will take it back. They also very often will provide some behavioral help or trainer to help you with whatever behavior problem you might have.
So these rescue organizations, it sounds like they're pretty much everywhere. They're available.
They sure are. They're all over the place.
So here in California, we have a lot to choose from, I hope.
Oh, my goodness. There are dozens in every city. I know in this immediate area, you have Peace of Mind that takes older dogs. You have the SPCA Monterey. You have all these shelters that have wonderful dogs. And just one thing I'd like to mention,
yeah.
Cynthia, people who want to help shelters, if they want to give a contribution, give it directly to the individual shelter. Very often, people write a check to the ASPCA or the Humane Society, assuming they are helping the shelters. They give very little to the shelters.
So does it all go to administration costs?
No. They use it for other things. But if you want to help the shelters and all the city shelters need help, please write the check directly to the shelter or the rescue group.
Good to know. And aside from dollars, which are always helpful,
right,
are there other things that can be donated, like blankets or toys?
Absolutely. They all need things, supplies for the animals. And very often, if you go to their website, they say what they need. And of course, they need volunteers.
That's always a good idea.
Yes.
Yeah, the healing effect of pets. Well, it's interesting, you know, Marian, being in Carmel, our bookstore garden shop in Carmel on Dolores between 5th and 6th, we know that Carmel is a dog-friendly town.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
We have hotels that include residency for dogs. We have restaurants that have doggy menus. There are a couple of doggy clothing stores in Carmel. And so when I was online earlier and I saw that we, in fact, are not the most dog-friendly state in the nation, I was rather surprised. And I just want to share with you, I think this is really interesting. So the highest percentage of households that have pets goes to the residents in Vermont, with almost 71% of the households in Vermont having pets. And then there's a number of other states. I'll include this on the podcast description when I put the archive up. But I want to just mention that California comes in about the middle of the list at about 53% of households having pets. And now this is the really interesting part. Washington, D.C. comes in dead last.
Doesn't that seem appropriate?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, you know, in your book, you talk about how important it is to see how people are with pets. It tells you so much about their character as an individual. And I just thought, wow, all those politicians in Washington, D.C.
We haven't a clue.
I just thought that was so interesting. Well, you know, we're going to take a moment and ask Marian if she will read something in her book, just to give us a flavor of this wonderful book that she has written. We do, by the way, have copies for sale in the bookstore at Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden. If you want to give a call and put a copy on hold for yourself, our number there is 831-624-4955. And again, the title of the book, Romancing the Dog, The Struggle to Make a Pound Dog Happy in Beverly Hills. And as Marian said, and Carmel. So what will you share with us, Marian?
Well, when I met my husband, he had just, he had a poodle, a miniature poodle who was older. And a short time after we started dating, she died. And I knew that a poodle was the kind of dog he had in mind when we talked about getting one. And I said, no problem, as long as it's a rescue. So I went about trying to find one. And this is called The Poodle Who Wasn't. And it starts with a little quote by George Bernard Shaw. I like a bit of a mongrel myself, whether it's a man or a dog, they're the best for every day. My first call was to Poodle Rescue. They had only one miniature available at the moment. We went and encountered a nervous, strange-looking dog. Nothing clicked with him, but there were others around town. During our first superficial search, we encountered a few different sized poodles, partial poodles, very little part poodle combos, but no actual miniature poodle. We even met a tiny three-legged dynamo, mostly Chihuahua, born that way, whom Sam immediately felt had no chance at adoption except with us. Here's our number, he said, handing the rescue person at the facility a piece of paper. If no one wants him, we'll take the little guy. He's not a poodle, I feel like shouting, but don't. Stunned, I realize at this instant that Sam's poodle resolve is not set in stone, that he's first and foremost an animal lover. Fortunately, his prediction about the three-legged dog turned out to be wrong. A young couple looking at him while we're there finds the little hopper mesmerizing. Checking later, we discover that they have adopted him. We jump from one rescue place to another, but haven't met the right dog yet. Then I get a call from Perfect Pet Rescue in our neighborhood. Nancy, who runs it, was on the other end. I just brought a gray female miniature poodle to the hospital. Why don't you check her out? She sounds like exactly what we're looking for. I go, I see, and call Nancy from there. The dog seems just fine, but Sam won't be back until after 2 o'clock, I tell her. He has to see her. Nancy also wants me to take a look at the, quote, black and white poodle mix, unquote, in a cage at the back of the pet hospital. There I find a curled up black and white mutt in an outside cage, appearing nothing at all like a poodle. The skinny fellow she calls a poodle mix had been brought in for cleaning up from the pound a few days before. As I approach the cage, he growls. I take off my sun visor and sunglasses, bend down, and say a few friendly words. The dog immediately put his paws on the cage in the most supplicating gesture and stares penetratingly into my eyes. What a look. The tail moves ever so slightly from side to side. This was it. Love at first sight. He let me know him, see into his soul, and we have bonded. Would I turn away? He was counting on me, his intelligent eyes said. I remember a very old lady we once met who told me that, quote, when you find the right pet, you just know it. This was surely the boy for me. But what of my promise to Sam? Surely his trust in me would be gone if I tossed the poodle commitment out the window. The little cage guy, a solemn medium-sized, all black and white irregular patches, had a striking haphazard design and sported large, mostly white paws. His face, in contrast to his body, came out perfectly symmetrical, a white mouth and mustache leading to a black button nose in the middle. Going back was a mask of black with large, expressive dark brown eyes. In the very center of his black head was a substantial white tuft of hair. His paws looked big and flat, not pointed and slim like a poodle's. The white areas showed black intermittent spots, almost Dalmatian-like. Quote, Sam wants a female poodle, and you definitely aren't one of those, but I'll see what I can do, unquote, I explained to the dog. I feel that he will understand the tone of what I was trying to communicate. Tone, and that I was trying to communicate something, always preferable to being ignored. Whether or not he's fully grown, I have no idea. I only know that I have great difficulty prying myself from his cage. Walking away, I turn back and see defeat written all over his despondent black and white face. I will be back, I call. Not actually sure about that, I know deep down that I want this dog. Driving home, I still feel those eyes on me. But what about Sam? I wonder if I could talk him into two dogs. Maybe there was a slim chance. The poodle is a given, I'd promised. I call later that day to tell Nancy that Sam was about to drive over to see the poodle. After a slight pause, she says, I'm sorry, the poodle's gone. I'm taken aback. What do you mean? I told you I thought we'd take her. Yes, but one of the volunteers noticed on her chart that she'd bitten a man once. I don't want to have any problems, so I gave her to two women. I don't believe what I'm hearing. Quote, but the black and white poodle mix is still available, unquote, Nancy says encouragingly. I hang up and tell Sam the good news.
That's great.
At least we know that the poodle got a permanent home. Sam agreed to drive over and look at the fellow in the cage. I feel certain that the dog contains not even 1% poodle. His unusual looks with that penetrating gaze were quite arresting, but the thick paws resembled those of a small sheepdog, with the same irregular black and white coloring many of them have. But hey, I wanted this dog, and figure I could just quote the rescue lady, right? Sam would see what he was or wasn't for himself. About an hour and a half later, Sam returns, decidedly unenthusiastic. What'd you think? I ask him. I don't know, he shrugs. He's funny looking. Yeah, for a poodle, I say to myself. Big head, skinny body. Sam says, he didn't pay any attention to me when I took him for a walk. Of course not. You're probably just one of many who come by and let him out. Sam tells me, if you want him, it's okay. He doesn't look much like a poodle. I couldn't argue with that.
That is funny. What a great beginning to the book.
It's kind of chapter one after the prologue.
Sure, sure. Well, and we're going to need to take a break here shortly, but when we come back, I want to talk about how dogs really enhance a life with such love and companionship. So our guest today in studio, Marion Zola, is our local author. Her book, Romancing the Dog, A Struggle to Make a Pound Dog Happy in Beverly Hills. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about relationship with dogs and how they enhance our lives. So stay with us for more Simple Life. We'll be right back. And we're back in studio with our local author guest today, Marion Zola, the author of many books. Well, I should say not many, but two. Well, that's more than one. And the other book, Marion, is All the Good Ones Are Married.
Correct. Not necessarily true, but that's a title.
And you're a screenwriter.
Yes. I've done mostly TV things.
Tell us about your PBS show that got some awards for adopting shelter pets.
It's called Shelter Me. It's I'm just a co-producer on that show, but it's a show about the wonderful value of shelter pets. It shows how different groups have been able to go into shelters and find dogs that are so great, they've been able to do extraordinary things. For instance, a group called Pets for Vets has taken dogs from the shelter, and they know what type of personality traits they're looking for, and they've trained them to help vets coming back with PTSD. Of course, some of the dogs are trained for handicapped people, people in wheelchairs or who have other handicaps. Matter of fact, a friend of ours adopted one of these dogs from the service dog group that got them from the pound. Search and rescue dogs, a lot of them are taken from the pound and trained for search and rescue. It's remarkable. If they can do those things, they can certainly be pets.
They could be, yes, very good pets for home and family.
Exactly.
Well, and you remind me of a very important aspect that has to do with pets, and that's a whole sort of subject area called pet therapy. I know my naturopath doctor here in Monterey has a therapy dog, and he's the greeter in the lobby when you come in, and he's just this really calm, chill golden retriever, and you know, just a lovely animal. I understand that having pets or even just spending time with pets, even if they're not yours, calms stress.
Absolutely.
It has you feel less fatigue.
And you know, the nursing homes recently have discovered that pets enhance the atmosphere there. The nursing homes that do have pets living there have been able to cut down on medications for the residents by 50%.
Woo-hoo, that's really substantial.
Yes. There was a very funny story that I heard about. I mean, it's eerie, but it's incredible, ironic, that one of the nursing homes has a cat who always shows up just before someone dies. He goes into that room. Mm. I don't know whether it's just to comfort the person. He has a sense of it. He feels it's a place he should be. But this cat has an uncanny sense about when someone's going to die. He's so accurate that the nursing home has begun to rely on him, in the sense that when they see the cat heading for a room to keep watch, they call the family and say, you might want to come down and say goodbye.
I was wondering if the cat was being nicknamed the Grim Reaper.
Probably.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that, Marian, because just a few days ago, a regular customer at Pilgrim's Way came in. You know, we've seen her off and on for years and years. And she said, I've just discovered I have really serious heart problem. Mm-hmm. And she said, it was the most interesting thing. My cat kept laying on my chest, right over my heart.
No kidding.
She said, it was an unusual behavior. I've had this cat for years. She's never done this. But every chance she got, she would like crawl up and lay on my heart. Or if I'm laying down, she would lay on my heart and she would paw my face like she was trying to get my attention. And
how
I don't know.
Fascinating.
Yeah. I don't know if this woman specifically went into the doctor or if it happened to be very synchronistically timed with a physical appointment with the doctor. But sure enough, they found that she has a serious heart problem.
Wow.
And so you just have to take those pets seriously. They know things we don't.
Absolutely. I'm sure you've heard about the pets who are detecting cancer.
Tell me.
Well, not all dogs can do this, of course, but they have found that many dogs are able to detect cancer before the tests can.
Oh, I love
and
it.
I remember seeing a program about this, and one of these people had a dog who kept licking her leg, her near her ankle, kept licking it in one spot and one spot. Finally, she got suspicious and went to the doctor, and sure enough, she did have cancer there and was able to have it removed in time. But I have since seen the testing they've done with these dogs in a controlled study. They have put down samples of dishes with substances, some of which have cancer and some of which don't. And they have trained the dog to sit in front of the dish that has the cancer. And they said that the dog is more accurate than their testing, because
ooh,
they had one sample they had marked as benign. The dog kept sitting down in front of that sample, and they thought the dog had made a mistake. They retested it and found out they were wrong, that it was malignant. And one of the programs showed that the blood test showed that a person had cancer, but they didn't know where it was. And what they did was they had the dog walk around the gurney. The gurney is low enough so the dog can sniff the whole body. And the dog is trained to sit right at the spot where he detects the cancer. I guess there must be a subtle smell that they can pick up, because they're smelling mechanism is 100 times,
yes,
or many hundred times more powerful than ours.
That's amazing. I had no idea. I had not heard about that.
Well, I've seen this program myself on PBS. It's amazing. It's
wow,
amazing how accurate they are. As I say, this is not an every dog
situation.
Right.
Well, and I'm curious too, Marian, as to how someone discovered that they can train a dog to search it out.
Well, I guess when these incidents happened and people reported it to the doctor, the doctors probably reported it, and they worked with the few dogs they knew about. And then they must have found certain breeds and certain dogs picked this up.
Aptitude.
And they may have tested a number of dogs, and they don't all have it, but quite a few do.
Wow. Well, that is just so amazing. The things we're still learning. You think we know it all, right?
Right.
With this high-tech life
yes,
we live.
That's right.
And now we're back to watching our dogs.
Absolutely.
You know, some of the other aspects of pet therapy that people are working with is veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder find very great relief having a pet around. And They're finding that having pet therapy also available at universities and community programs where, you know, people are homebound, it's just a great icebreaker. I mean, they say for guys, it's a great way to meet women.
And vice versa.
But what I really want to talk about is how Mr. Chips obviously enhanced your life. I mean, it's like a love affair. It's no wonder you named it this title, Romancing the Dog. Say a little more about how that all happened and what that was like in terms of just really enhancing your heart.
Well, he was, you know, he was like our baby. We enjoyed his company tremendously because he was a very sweet and easygoing dog. He was intelligent. I mean, he was no Harvard material, but he was, you know, he was intelligent. He liked people very much and liked all other dogs. He was just a super friendly dog. He'd go right up to you wagging his tail expecting you to like him, and most people did. I mean, people just came over in droves. A couple of women said to me, "It's a person's face. It's a person's face." He had a very expressive face, and we just met so many people. A number of our very good friends we met because of him, especially in Carmel, where so many people walk on scenic with their animals in the morning. We kept meeting the same people over and over, and you know, we met this one couple, for instance, who had a dog named Bennett, and we met them for years, and we were all in our sweat clothes, and we, you know, we just met through the dogs, and she kept saying, "Well, call us," and finally we called them, and they're very good friends now, and we met a lot of people with the dog. And also, when you have a dog, it's very easy to meet people, because you strike up a conversation so naturally about the dogs. And before you know it, you're talking. And for those who are single, it's a wonderful icebreaker. It's just a great social asset. And plus, he was just such a comfort in many situations. Having him really enhanced our lives. And of course, being a writer, you're in a lonely profession. You sit alone a lot at a desk, and he was a constant companion, and he let me know when I'd worked long enough.
Well, we don't want to give the audience the idea that it was a complete honeymoon experience. I guess there were some challenges.
Oh, a lot of challenges.
Yeah. Can you share a couple of highlights of those so we balance this out?
Well, he did have an unfortunate experience where we took him to a non-anesthetic teeth cleaner.
Oh.
Now, I'm not saying this is necessarily true of other non-anesthetic teeth cleaners, but this was someone highly recommended, and everything went okay for a while. And then one day, there was somebody new there, and I just had a feeling I should just look over the fence, because they most often take the dog to an area where the guardian isn't sitting, because they say it's easier for cooperation from the dog if you're not right there. And took him to another area, and we're cleaning his teeth, and I looked over the fence, and I see my dog's head all the way back with a stick holding open the mouth. And I said to this woman, "What are you doing?" And she said to me, "Oh, your dog is very spoiled." When somebody says that, I know they're having trouble handling the animal. And this woman was brand new. She was being trained, and I didn't like the way she was handling him. I took him back immediately. I said, "Give me the dog." And she had broken his neck. His disc in his neck was broken, was shattered, and he was in tremendous pain. He couldn't stand or sit or lie down, and I had to take him for emergency surgery. And that was a terrible experience.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah, it was a nightmare.
I've got to ask, did you report the situation back to the
owner?
Yeah.
She would never, ever come to the phone. I called a dozen times. And she would not come to the phone. Finally, you know, I had to leave a message. And that's all I could do. That's all I could do. It's a very hard thing to prove. I wasn't interested in lawsuits.
No.
But I was interested in preventing this from happening again.
That's right.
I did complain to the business, and they said that that woman was upset. She was the sister of the other person who was doing the training, and she said they were kind of upset because their other sister had been killed the week before. And I said, well, that's a terrible tragedy, but that's not my dog's fault, you know. So I have cautioned friends to be very careful who they leave the dog with to do different services.
You know, yeah, because dogs can't get back to their guardians and tell them the story.
Exactly. Whether it's a vet, a groomer, a dog teeth cleaner,
mm-hmm.
you have to be very careful and check these things out very carefully.
Very carefully, yeah. And you know, speaking of cruelty to animals, I know that all animal lovers remember the very public case of Michael Vick and his charges of animal abuse. And as horrible as that was, I think that it really did a great service in letting the public know what huge volume of activity this kind of behavior, happens in our nation.
It's just awful. Just awful, this dog fighting thing. The Humane Society asked Michael Vick, when he got out of jail, to participate in some training programs for gangs in this area.
I remember that.
Yeah, which he has done. However, I'm not confident that he is a greatly reformed animal lover. I'm not sure about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What would you change if it were up to you? What would you like to see change that would actually keep our animal friends safe and cared for in a better way?
Well, number one, adopt. People buy dogs and cats from pet stores and online websites, not realizing most of these animals come from puppy mills. Horrendously bad places, cruel, indescribably inhumane, but they don't realize it. I have had people tell me, oh, it said breeder, which means nothing. That means somebody has reproduced an animal, that's all, has had an animal that reproduced. If it's a legitimate breeder and you're completely set on buying an animal, you should go to the place where the dog is and see the facility and the breeding place. A puppy mill will not want you to come. And most often, they will have a small front operation in which you see a couple of dogs that don't look too bad, but they have the back operation, which is beyond description, cruel and horrible. That's one thing wrong with buying. The second thing is you're not adopting a homeless animal, which needs a home desperately.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And, it's a big business. I mean, in 2013 in the U.S., there was like $56 billion with a B.
Unbelievable.
Dollars spent on our pets in the U.S. And so if there isn't money flowing for these very unethical situations where animals are treated just to make a buck, then it's not going to be a problem for them. They will be dissuaded from continuing that kind of living. But animal purchases alone, just the money spent to acquire an animal in America, is $2.2 billion annually.
Isn't that extraordinary?
However, if you adopt an animal, it doesn't cost that much.
That's right. You're just a little contribution that's tax deductible
to the
rescue organization. And usually the dogs are already fixed, chipped, and have all their vaccinations.
That's right. And you're dealing with people who know the animal, at least for some period of time, who can tell you a lot of interesting things about their personality and tendencies.
And the wonderful thing about adopting a dog that's no longer a puppy is he's housebroken.
Always a plus.
Always a plus.
You know, the other thing, Marion, I noticed, there's a lot of warnings about scammers who obviously are from other countries. They advertise free classified ad pages to sell their so-called puppies, and they steal images and text off of actual breeder websites. But they're actually scammers. And so it's interesting, of course, not interesting that someone wants to make a buck off of folks who really have good intentions and want to have an expansion to their family. But it's interesting that the tip is if you want to test the waters and you don't know whether this is or isn't, to ask for a photograph that includes something present, like a piece of paper with the date on it.
Well, that's a good idea.
Because they won't be able to do that since they don't actually have an animal for sale.
Right.
If they're stealing the photos and just scamming you.
I see. You mean with the dog?
With the dog. Well,
that's a very good idea.
And a piece of paper that has the date on it.
You mean a printed date?
Yeah, or handwritten. Yeah, something that would show up in the photograph. And you would know that, in fact, that dog is present on that day with the person that you are communicating with.
Well, what if they just put a date that isn't the real date?
Well, if they have a dog or don't have a dog, then you would know.
Right.
Yeah, because this is saying that there are a lot of internet sites that actually look like they're sites that sell puppies. But they just collect your money.
And no puppy comes. No puppy comes.
They don't actually have any puppies. So,
my goodness.
Yeah, something to kind of be aware of. You know, if you're doing internet anything, it's a whole brave world out there.
But I
like your idea. Just work locally.
Yes.
Go and see the puppy. Have your own connection with it.
Right. And if you must buy a dog, do not buy it online or from a pet store.
That's right.
Find a legitimate breeder and go there and see the operation. Of course, I wish you would just adopt.
Just adopt, yeah.
Just adopt.
And it doesn't have to be a puppy.
Of course not. You can get a puppy if you want, but for myself, I would much rather have a grown dog.
Yeah.
That's already learned a couple of things.
At someone else's expense.
Exactly.
Well, I don't want to completely run out of time. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you feel strongly about? Please.
I just want to warn people not to buy any pet food that has ingredients from China. Please be very careful. I know lots of instances in which pets have gotten very sick from that or died. You have to do a little research.
Would that be printed on the packaging?
Sometimes, but you do a little research, because if it says distributed in the U.S., it still might be manufactured elsewhere.
Right.
Just try to look into it. Local is best.
Or raw food.
Raw food, but whatever you think, just do a little research.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to mention, Cynthia, is a lot of mothers tell me, oh, my kids are dying to have a dog, but I know they're not going to take care of it. I'm going to get stuck with it, and I don't have the time. I have a suggestion. Foster a dog for a rescue organization. Tell the children, we are not going to keep this dog. We are going to find him a home, but I want to see how you take care of him.
This is your test.
This is the test. And if you do a good job and you show me that you can take care of a pet properly, then we'll consider getting you your own dog or cat. The other thing that's a wonderful thing to do is to foster a guide dog for the blind. You can take a guide dog when he's a puppy and train him minimally for 18 months. I know a lot of people say, oh, my kids will get too attached to him. But even though that may be the case, you tell them at the beginning, this is not our dog. This dog is going to help a blind person. We're just helping out the blind person and the organization and the dog. And we will, if you take care of this dog properly, we will get you your own dog.
Wow, that's a brilliant idea. Not only that, you're actually
doing something
you're
great.
You're being of service and you're modeling and having your kids involved in the same sort of charitable behavior.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
So great. So, Marian, before we completely run out of time, this show is sponsored by Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden.
A beautiful store, may I say.
Thank you so much. And we're located in downtown Carmel by the Sea. But we like to hear from the Simple Life Radio guests. What's your favorite book of all time?
Oh, my gosh. I tell you, there is no way I could pick one book. But what comes to mind is a book I just read that I absolutely loved, which was called Things That Matter by Charles Krauthammer. And another favorite book, which is an old, old classic, is The Alexandrian Quartet.
Mm.
And I love poetry. I've written and read a lot of poetry. And there's so many wonderful books. I know if you go to Pilgrim's Way, you can find a fantastic selection of current and classic.
Well, Paul, who is, of course, my husband and the book buyer at Pilgrim's Way, does a fabulous job of selecting the books. We try to really, really be selective because, of course, our space is small.
Right. But and, you do have a very interesting, eclectic selection.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Well, I'm gonna just tell you once again how much I appreciate your being on the show and sharing your wealth of knowledge and information with all of our guests today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And again, for those of you listening, you can find Marian's book at Pilgrim's Way. They are signed copies, and we always make sure that they are in stock. So if you'd like to give Paul a call, you can give him a call at 831-624-4955 and have your copy put on hold. We're open every day. We offer curbside service. You don't even have to look for parking. Just give us a call and make the arrangements, and we'll run it right out to you. Now, we had an author on site today, Andrea Freeman, who has won several awards for a children's book that she wrote titled The Infinite Song. It's beautifully illustrated. It's a wonderful story. I highly recommend that you take a look at it. And we do have some signed copies of that in the store today. A special surprise for those of you who don't know, Mickey Muning, who is a very well-known architect. He's sometimes called the organic architect. He's designed and built many Big Sur creations, including the Ventana, I'm going to mess this up now, Post Ranch Inn in Big Sur, and also when the Esalen Institute baths were rebuilt, he was the architect for that as well. He has a new book titled Mickey Muning, Dreams and Realizations for a Living Architecture. And it is a gorgeous, gorgeous book. He will be at the store next Saturday. That's July 19th. He'll be there from 1 to 3 in the afternoon for an informal meet and greet format. So I highly recommend that you come down and meet him directly, have him sign your book, certainly get one or two copies for friends, take a look at it. The photography, of course, beautiful wood-framed houses that are massively designed in glass overlooking the coastline of Big Sur on the central coast of California is just stunning. So definitely want to let people know about that. And my guest next week, Mary Beth Harris, is another local author. We are endowed with numerous amounts of talented people here on the Central Coast of California. Her book is titled Me, a Caregiver, where she writes about the healthcare field and caring for a loved one of, you know, within your own family. And she is actually, I got to tell you, she's a stand-up comic. She could definitely be a stand-up comic. So it is going to be a very entertaining show next week. I hope that you all tune in. Our website, by the way, does have a listing of all of our calendar items for events. Our website is pilgrimsway.com. It's very simple, pilgrimsway.com. Just click on the events page and you will see a calendar. And then from that calendar, you can click on any of the events that are listed there for more detailed information. And certainly give us a call for anything that you need specifically. Oh, what else can I tell you? On Sundays, I'm in the garden. Come see me. I'm putting together potted succulent gardens. I'll be there to answer questions and help anybody as much as I can with fountain arrangements or altar arrangements. So give me a little question to tickle my fancy. I'll be here again next week.